Blog Talk Radio.
We're live in Los Angeles. Hola. Buenos noches. Hi, it's Jane, and I'm back on the air, and I got a message for you.
Hello, I'm Wilson Lawson. I am happy to be here. I hope you can commune with us and help build the engaged radio community.
Hola. Welcome to Los Angeles.
Hola, bienvenidos a Los Angeles. Estoy feliz de estar aquí. Espero que comunicarse con nosotros y ayudar a construir una impresionante comunidad de radio comprometida.
Hola, bienvenidos a Los Angeles. Estoy feliz de estar aquí. Espero que puedo comunicarse con nosotros y ayuda a construir una impresionante comunidad de radio comprometida. Welcome to Los Angeles. I'm happy to be here. I hope you can commune with us and help build an awesome, engaged radio community. It's John's birthday, and he's calling in late. How charming. John is practicing with his homies at the church, and I just flew across the country. Welcome to the show, Ben.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. We are having some glitches tonight. John is going to call into the show. But
okay.
It's Don's birthday, and he's out celebrating. So we decided to only have a short show, and I haven't heard from Albert. But is that okay with you?
Sure.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but I was trying to be due diligent and have the show anyway, even though my plane just landed 2 hours ago. And then it turns out it was kind of a bad night for everybody. So anyways, did you hear about that Philando Castile verdict in Minneapolis?
Why don't you refresh me?
Okay, can you tell me first what you... I'm not going to make this all about race or anything. I'm just bringing it up because it was in the news this week. So this is the case. Now, you know in a lot of cities that the police never go to trial. But in this case, he had a girlfriend named Diamond Lavish Phillips. And believe it or not, that's her real name. So in 2015, I believe he was killed in July of 2015 or July of 2016. I can't remember now. But she videotaped it, and a man named Guillermo Yanez, a police officer, walked up to their car. It was late at night, and the reason why he stopped Philando Castile is because he thought he looked like a burglar from a convenience store in a nearby location, because he reported into the precinct that he had a wide nose. So that's all he went to go by, is he saw a black guy with a wide nose and he stopped him. So then Philando told him, I have a weapon in the car and it's registered, which is my friend who took a gun safety course said that's what you're supposed to tell a police officer if you have a gun in the car. Well,
not necessarily.
For some
reason, I'm familiar.
Well,
I
just talked
video
to someone
that
this weekend who took a course on it. So I don't know about your state, but in Minnesota we're told to do that.
Okay.
Well, let me just finish the 30-second clip, okay? So apparently,
okay.
I don't know. Nobody knows what happens next because that Diamond Phillips lady who was videotaping, she had the camera at a certain angle, but we're guessing that he was going to show Officer Yanez the gun because in the next video footage, Yanez shot Castile 5 times in the neck and the chest. Like he just shot him dead in cold blood. And basically he told people afterwards that he was scared. And he's the police officer. So I'm not on any particular side because my memory hasn't been refreshed for over a year. But I do think if you're a police officer and someone's being honest with you, that you should at least give him the chance to be honest. Nobody pulled a gun on him, but he decided to kill the person in the car, not even fully knowing who he was.
Right.
And he was not the person who burgled the store earlier.
Yeah, he was part of a church group, wasn't he?
Yes. I don't know about that, but he was a school cook in a school. And apparently he knew everybody's name, every kid's name in the school. So I don't know if he was an outstanding citizen, but he had a job where kids admired him. So I guess the gist of the story is that they sent they had enough evidence to send a kid to trial. I mean, the officer for trial for involuntary manslaughter or second degree manslaughter. And then his name was Geronimo Yanez. I thought it was Guillermo. And they went to trial, and he was still acquitted. So I'm pulling up the article now. So you only caught the top of the news, right?
I remember which one it is now. I saw the headline about the protest, but now I remember the video because I saw it when it happened. And, yeah, I was pretty upset about that because he did everything right.
Yeah, and actually, another reason it was kind of a well-known story is because CNN picked it as one of the top four stories of that year because of the lady's video. It made it a lot more graphic. So can I just read one paragraph of this article so we can clear things up? Geronimo Yanez was charged with manslaughter. He was also cleared of two lesser charges in the July traffic stop in Falcon Heights, a St. Paul suburb. The jury of 7 men and 5 women deliberated for more than 4 days before reaching a verdict in the death of Philando Castillo, who was shot just seconds after informing Yanez that he was carrying a gun. Family members and supporters left the courtroom in tears. Castillo's mother, Valerie, yelled an expletive the moment the verdict was read. Defense attorney Earl Gray, meanwhile, rubbed the shoulder of Yanez, and the scene was very emotional. And then they interviewed the victim of the mother outside the court, right? And she said he got away with murder, noting that her son was wearing a seatbelt in a car with his girlfriend, and there was a 4-year-old child in the back seat. So I do think that police officer was reckless, especially since he held there was a 4-year-old little girl in the back seat.
Yeah. Well, he cannot carry a firearm, apparently. I mean, I hope they don't put him back into duty with a firearm. He should be writing traffic tickets if he can't. So you said he was found guilty of manslaughter?
No, he was non-guilty on all counts, but the city of St. Anthony decided not to keep him as a police officer, and he no longer has a job. And they announced that the day the trial ended. So you don't have to worry about him writing any tickets. He's no longer a cop.
Hmm.
I mean, the whole thing, I guess it's more personal for me because it happened in Minneapolis. And you should never go by stereotypes, but Minneapolis is a very tolerant city. And it's also the highest percentage in the country of mixed marriages. Now, I'm not trying to make any racial epithet any racial correlation here, but it was a Latino who killed a black in this case. And basically, I just think the cop was scared. We don't know everything that happened, but he basically told the cop that I have a firearm in my car and it's registered, and I don't know what else happened, like if the girlfriend swore, I don't know nothing. But all I know is that the cop got scared, and that's why he decided to shoot.
Well, any police officer is supposed to,
Go ahead.
Are you gonna?
Like, he didn't even ask the guy to get out of the car. He didn't even ask him to get out of the car and put his hands on the hood. He just shot the guy to death.
Well, any police officer should be able to, take in the entire surroundings. If there's a woman and a child into the car, shooting into the car should be your last option. Especially when there was no violence.
My face on the phone. I apologize. My face at the phone. You're right. I think it was a very poor assessment. It was in the evening. I don't know if it was 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, or 10 o'clock at night, but it was in the summer. It sounds like he made a very poor decision. And then it took the St. It happened in Falcon Heights, which is part of St. Paul. It took the DA at least 6 months to decide to even bring the case to trial. So if they thought that this man was guilty of manslaughter, they must have had just cause. But apparently the jury, after spending, I think it was more than 52 hours deliberating, they decided not to convict him. So it was probably more of a hung jury where they didn't agree, and then they couldn't come forth with a verdict. So can I ask you a question? Do you think our justice system should be changed to the majority of the jury deciding if somebody can win a case?
I don't think our justice system should be changed. I think more people need to be educated when they're there. When they're in the seat, they need to be educated on the law and to ignore biases. I don't think it needs to be changed. I think if somebody's not guilty, but the one person that doesn't agree is the one that understands that there's no law broken, that could be the one that keeps an innocent man out of jail.
I just found out what the two minor charges were against Geronimo Yanez. It was second-degree murder, manslaughter, and the minor counts were dangerous discharge of a firearm. In other words, carelessness, in my opinion.
Right. Does he understand about ricochets and things like that? Like, even at a shooting range, you're shooting at a safe distance away from yourself, too. You don't just go right up to anything point blank and think everybody's going to be okay in that area. Bullets can fragment in every direction. So that should be an absolute last option. He didn't even reach for the taser. He didn't do anything. He didn't tell the guy to stop moving. But the one thing, what I wanted to say is, in my state, you're not required to show your concealed permit if you get pulled over. If they ask, you have to tell the truth. But you don't have to just come out and say that, because that might escalate the situation right there. But
yeah,
if you do say it, you never reach.
A safer way. You never know how people are going to respond. And 3 years ago, I was stopped on the day before Palm Sunday. And for no reason at all, the cop asked me, do you have a gun in your trunk? Well, I said my car insurance was back there, so maybe he thought I was pulling a stunt. But I don't think the cop should know unless it's a necessary part of the routine. Right?
Right. That's personal information. You're not required. You shouldn't be. I know you're not in this state, because I heard it directly from the sheriff.
Well, all I know is that it caused a problem and the guy lost his life over it. So I guess the one thing I can be proud of is that the St. Paul, Minneapolis area tried to do right by this person who died, and they tried to bring the justice to a court trial, but it still came out with the wrong result. So it makes a person question whether, even if they want to convict someone, can they be successful unless it's an open and shut case and the person plea bargains for something less.
Right.
So I'm going to be seeing John later in the weekend, by the way, and I'm hoping somebody else will call in tonight.
Yeah.
I'm disappointed in people, but I can't do anything about it. People have lives to lead.
Well, I wanted to bring something up that, too. There's
I was going to ask you what's on your mind this week.
Well, I'll stick to this subject real quick. And, you know, it seems like when a police officer gets his badge and his gun, you're basically you're the authority. You have the power to take someone's life. And I think the test should be extremely hard to pass when you have that kind of responsibility. There should be a evaluation that goes on for pages and pages, figure out what kind of person you are, how skittish you are. They should watch you shoot, handle a firearm for a long time. And I think they're trying really hard to satisfy communities, and cultural appropriation might not be the best thing for every position. It should be the very best of the
class.
What
do you mean by
time,
cultural
no matter,
appropriation?
Well, I think not even tying this to this case, but in general, cultural appropriation is changing who we have in all of our positions that use it. And it's also changing the tests. It's kind of invalidating because all of a sudden it's not the best one who wins necessarily. It's the one that's the most needed in a certain category.
Yeah. I agree with what you said, and I think you're always very logical and just. Now, I was trying to assess the situation from the physical and cultural makeup of St. Paul. Like, I think in this case, it was just one officer with a bad decision-making process. Like, they're looking for people in the dark at night who may have robbed a convenience store, but are they stopping every black man with a wide, flat nose? I mean, it seems like another targeted behavior situation, but if you were in Cleveland, Philadelphia, or New York, it depends on the protocol and the cops and how they handle certain situations. I'm sure in tougher cities, they're a lot less patient. But could you repeat your definition of cultural appropriations? Because one of our co-hosts was texting me during that time you were speaking.
So cultural appropriation, as far as I understand it, is it goes kind of with the census. The census divides us up into certain blocks of people. And
yeah.
in order to create equality or closer to equity, they fill the positions with all of the spectrum of the census, which kind of sometimes it can leave people out that would have done better on any kind of a test or had more experience. So I think that needs to go away. I think people need to get back to earning their position because they're the best one for it. That way you have better doctors, you have better police, you have better everything, leadership, workers, everybody that wants to be there.
I agree with you.
Should be. So that's basically
I agree with the
my
point
definition.
Of view. Now, I do think that I think the dynamics of the country has changed since Ferguson. Like, they centered so much on that incident that when it fanned out to other situations, like that 12-year-old boy dying of a toy gun in Cleveland and stories like that, I think a lot of these stories have puttered out a bit. But now the Philando Castile trial is just another reminder to me, or at least people in general, that our system is broken. But like, as Don and his NAACP people, they have these conferences with the Reno police to build community relations. That's about the only thing you can do to try to improve things. You can't prevent everything.
Right, and I think
so
a good way to do that would be to set up a barbecue with your sheriff or police department. That's a good way to get to know them.
Right.
Go to chief of police or the sheriff of your county and say, hey, can we set something up where the community can have a barbecue and shake hands with the officers. I think that would do wonders.
In Duluth, Minnesota, they have three node locations for they're called community relations office, and one's in the mall, one's in a like a retail friendly part of downtown Duluth, and I forgot. I think they might even have one in one of the high schools. Community, they're working on it. So I want to kind of shift gears for a minute because it looks like Don and John haven't called in yet, and I don't know if they're going to. But what did you think this week about other news highlights, like the petering out James Comey testimony and the handful of tweets from Donald Trump? Like, do you think our government and the headline news is just a circus at this point?
Well, I think it's stumbling on itself. I think the way it's designed, it's supposed to be able to, but it's not supposed to. Because
Russian probe is unavoidable. They do investigate it. It's not going to change anything.
They're trying to take his effort out of his agenda. They're trying, I think, because the Comey talk really kind of ruined the Russia narrative, but it's still going. And I was just thinking, you know, how much longer are we going to, I think they're getting back at Trump for how long it took with Benghazi hearings. Just to
you
take
think
his
it's
mind
just like,
off of it.
I think they're trying to delegitimize the Trump agenda too, like taking the wind out of his sails. But they're also waiting for him to pose or to destroy himself in a sense. But the state of Maryland and the District of Columbia sued Trump for the emoluments clause again about getting profits from that hotel in D.C. and stuff, and I don't know if that's going to go anywhere either. But I just kind of feel like our government is deflatable at this point, and we're in some George Orwellian / Monty Python fictionalized story. To me, it just seems strange.
Well, it's because there's two governments running us. That's what we can see. And we're seeing the chaos at the highest level. It's Trump
hasn't
fully taken over.
What do you mean by two governments?
Trump hasn't taken over the entire government. There's still people in there that are working very hard to fight back. And
right.
You can tell. And I mean, look at all the things that, if you look at the Benghazi hearing, the secret meeting, the other things that were going on across the country at the time that got memos from Loretta Lynch, how come she hasn't been investigated? She seemed like the kingpin, the lower kingpin. So
that's kind of a profound statement.
Well, is it?
But is she out of the picture yet? I don't even know. That's how out of it I am today.
Well,
she's not part of the Trump administration anymore, is she?
No, I don't think so. Didn't she move in where Obama moved? So they're still there.
I don't know.
In D.C.
I'm going to look it up. I know the Obamas bought a house in D.C. because their youngest child didn't graduate yet. But I don't know what Loretta Lynch is doing. I just know that one of my professors got really mad when she met with Bill Clinton on a plane, in the back of a plane, regarding Hillary's, whether or not Hillary was going to be under justice scrutiny.
Yeah, and after that
so she's
meeting,
no longer
they,
the attorney general anymore. She is a Harvard Law product. Right. Well, obviously,
yeah.
I was just trying to clarify it for somebody who may not be a good listener. I mean, who's trying to listen to our show.
Well, they've got
Sessions
tied up, too. They've got him wrapped up into the
investigation. I thought
his
testimony was rather crummy.
Yeah, he didn't do a very good job of punching the point. It was kind of a lot more of the same kind of talk that everybody's sick of. But if something's going to be done, if they're going to go to this length with this administration, why won't they go back a step and look at the last administration and kind of tie the two together? What's going on? I mean,
The Washington elite thinks that Trump is inept, ineffective, and he should have never gotten in there. And I think they're just trying to get rid of him by any means possible. And that's coming from a Democrat. So if I feel that way, then there must be some truth to it. Because I don't think Donald Trump's even smart enough to pull off a Russian takeover, hostile or otherwise. Now, I do believe that they did try to bribe him, and he might have been trying to work some side deals on that. But once he became president, I thought it would all kind of wash away.
If he was working with Russia, here's a question. If he was actually working and colluding with Russia, why would he have brought up the fact that Hillary traded our uranium king fees? Why would he even touch the Russia story?
Did he bring that up?
Yeah, I think once or maybe twice, but I didn't know. I don't know if he said it more times on his campaign tour. But I heard him on TV say it once, at least, where he mentioned her uranium deal. So why would he do that? Why would he bring up somebody that he's supposedly colluding with as an accusation?
I have no idea, but I really don't think Donald Trump has a strong command over all the government and factual knowledge of the world. By the way, Lynch was not approved the attorney general till February 2015, so she served less than 2 years.
Mm.
And she was part of the U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder in 2014 announced the Justice Department will lead a civil rights investigation into the death of Eric Garner in New York, the one who died of a chokehold. And she announced a lawsuit against North Carolina in May of 2015 over the state law restricting bathroom access based on biological sex. But really, she didn't really have time to do hardly anything in her term there. So I was just reading some facts off of the CNN page.
Well, she had power, obviously. If you listen to Comey's statement, she was able to bully the FBI. She said, it's not an investigation, we need to call it a matter. And he had to. Why did he have to? He's the FBI. So that's power right there. You can see that she had power, no matter how long she was there. You there?
We had a temporary glitch. Ben is back on the line. I accidentally hung up when someone was trying to text me, so we're back on the air. Hi, Ben.
Oh,
I was trying to text you, but I accidentally hung up. And then the show won't go off the air. I just have to call back in and enter the digits for the code.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yep, I'm here.
Yeah, so finish your thought. I didn't hear that part of the testimony about Loretta. I didn't hear that part of the testimony about Loretta Lynch and Comey.
That was the only part you should have heard.
So she said it should be called an investigation. It's just a review or something like that?
A matter.
Okay. I had to work a 90-hour week in 5 days before my trip, so I only got part of the testimony. You know what I mean?
Right. There was two main points that were important to me about that testimony. And the one was that he admitted that he leaked information to a colleague. The other one was that Loretta Lynch told him how to speak.
Wow. But why would he be so... why would he take such a humble, submissive direction from her?
Well, I don't know. They have.
Well,
they
do
have
you think that in those types of situations, do you think she threatened him?
In order to be that high up there, the same deal that gets you there can bring you back out of there. So I think everybody there has some kind of dirt that can be used against them at any time. I think it's just like House of Cards. Like, there's, in order to be in a position of power, you have to have some kind of a kill switch or some kind of, like, something they can bring up just to take you back down.
I was at Toastmasters last week. A doctor told me that there's only one reason. There's many reasons that they could nail Trump for impeachment, but another reason is, and the obvious reason is, that he fired James Comey when he didn't have the right to. He doesn't have the right to fire the FBI director. It's an autonomous position that you're supposed to hold for 10 years. And he had plenty of political fodder in order to do it.
Okay, so how
right?
would you get around a corrupt? How would you get around a corruption that involved the FBI director, if that's true?
I don't think James Comey is corrupt. I think that he wasn't sure how to handle the Hillary investigation, but he decided to bring it out in public because he felt convicted about it, and he does regret doing it during a political election year. But in the same vein, he never mentioned that he was investigating Trump and Russia between July and November 2016 before people voted. So his omission kind of was a deception. But on the other hand, he probably didn't want to rock the boat too much because he'd look flaky. And I don't know. Do you think he should have been fired, I guess I should ask?
Yeah, I do. There was a lot of corruption that happened from him down. And maybe he wasn't directing all of it, but it still happened under the departments. So, yes, he should have.
Well, then how come so many people I talk to say he's competent?
Well, maybe he is, but he's definitely working with an agenda. Otherwise, he would care less what
right.
the Attorney General tells him to do. He should have recused himself because his brother does the taxes for the Clinton Foundation. So that should have been grounds for recusal right then. He should have stepped away.
His brother does the taxes for the Clinton Foundation?
Yeah.
An article in the Washington Post said that his integrity level was so high that he refused to play basketball with Barack Obama because people would think that they're too close personally. But yet his brother does the taxes for the Clinton Foundation.
Yep. Might want to look that
Let's
up.
Just
I'm pretty
be
sure I read. Check it out.
I did read that article. I can vouch for it, that he would not play basketball with Obama in fear of what people might think, that like he might be swayed, or that he doesn't want to get too close to people who he's supposed to be professional with, blah, blah, blah. But, Ben, it's 10:41, and I'm going to postpone the rest of this dialogue till next week. And I just want to ask you a question before we get off the air. We can do our conclusions. Do you think there's a better night for us to do the show, or do you think I should just give the radio host a pass this week and not worry about if they called in or not?
I don't know. It's been working as far as my schedule.
Well,
John
had another conflict tonight. I guess they're doing a 4th of July thing across the street. His church is right next to Santa Monica College, and they had to rehearse for an event July 4th, and he couldn't get out of the rehearsal. So I think next time I'll just clear it with you guys on Saturday to make sure you can all show up on Sunday. But since I'm on vacation and I just got to my sister's an hour ago, I think that we should cut the show short.
Sure, no problem.
Well, I'll do my conclusion first. I'll do a conclusion and you'll do a conclusion, then I'll play one of John's songs. So my conclusion is that I was touched personally by the Philando Castile story. First of all, because it did seem to ring true that certain police officers don't follow protocol in crisis situations, and they just allow human nature to take its course, and they're unable to assess situations and make a good judgment call. And I think if you're going to fire off your gun as a cop, you better be sure you know what you're doing, like your life is on the line, or there's other people who are going to be hurt. Also, as I mentioned to Ben on the show, I think our government is just, our media is getting way too far from the nuts and bolts of government. It just seems like all these investigations are turning into just a giant bowl of confusion, and it's hard for the public to sort through what's true versus what should be feared. So sometimes I just, unless it's a terrorist attack, I avoid the news because I'm really not sure what to make out of it anymore. And with that, I'll pass. Your turn.
Okay. Keep in mind is how much these investigations are costing the U.S. tax dollars or payers. And it's, you know, you can sit and talk about what amount could pay for what else that we need, but the meter is spinning right now. And, you know, if Trump's that evil, they're just going to spin that meter. That's their opinion, that he's that evil that we need to spin the meter on this. But if they could step away from that thinking for just a minute and say, hey, all this money that's going to this investigation could probably fix a lot of things. And
I agree.
The other part of my conclusion would be Happy Father's Day. Everybody that's a father is doing, you know, one of the most important things in the world, because not everybody has a father around. So everybody that is, try to be better than your dad. If you can, great. But if you can't, try to be like your dad. That's it.
Thank you for sharing that. Happy Father's Day to my son's dad, who's in Liberia, and my son has never met him. And thank you for being a good father to your children. And my father was a good provider, but he was kind of emotionally disconnected. But he never failed to provide for our family in life and after death and afterlife. He also left us with safeguards and cash.
All right.
With that,
earlier,
I'll be seeing John this week. Go ahead.
So
go
earlier,
ahead.
I wanted to send. I was my dad passed away, but I was wondering if I could send him a message. If there was anything still online about him, if I could just send him a Happy Father's Day message. And I found something. It was on Legacy, and it said it was expired now. So I paid the $79 to keep it online forever. And as soon as I did that,
really?
It brought
That's
back
cool.
It brought back all the old messages of people I don't even know who made comments about him when he passed away. So it was that was really cool to see all that.
I would say for that fact alone, it was worth it.
It was, and I had no idea that it would bring back old messages. It just happened, so it was really cool. Good Father's Day present for me.
What year did your dad die?
2006.
Okay,
five.
So it was quite a. It was 12 years ago or 13. I just wrote an online obituary guest book entry for somebody whose mother just died. So those are good keepsakes. But they do
right.
expire after about a year. Expire
nope,
after
I
about
bought
a
the,
year. So it's,
you can buy the
well,
one
you bought
year
it, so you
or,
got to keep it.
Well, I pay to keep it online. You can also purchase a book made out of all of it. But I just paid to keep it online forever.
Okay.
So.
I just wanted to mention, I'm glad you brought that up. And since I was in the air today, I didn't think a lot about Father's Day. John has a father that he was close to and died of an illness about 18 years ago. So thank you for bringing that up, and it's heartwarming. I'm glad you got satisfaction out of reading the entries. And with that, I'm going to end this show, okay?
All right,
and,
thank you.
Thank you. I'll see you next week, and I might be at John's music studio next week. We might be doing it together, okay?
Right on. All right, see you next time.
Okay. Yep, good night.
Whenever I will call, we humbly bow before you. We love to praise and adore you. We humbly bow before the throne. We give you all the glory. Salvation is our story. We humbly bow before the myself to you, protected by your hand. My dreams and schemes and all I have is surrendered to your plan. I know that I'm inadequate. I stumble and I fall. Still, you always pick me up whenever I will call. We humbly bow.
Tonight's show was interrupted by travel. I flew to Los Angeles. Plus, we ended up doing a topic that was not on the roster. It was about Philando Castile and the poor decision-making of Geronimo Yanez, the St. Anthony, Minneapolis police officer who was screwed up. That legacy of his death will haunt the St. Paul, Minneapolis community. It was wrong, but they tried to follow the course of justice. I'm disappointed in my co-host. I guess life gets in the way, so I'll have to forgive him. But we're ending the show tonight a little early. Thank you for listening.